Thanks very much. I don't think I need that. Let's grab that little bit there. Good. So this is my 1st of June talk. Welcome to the month of June. And it's 2nd of June, okay. And it's my pre-Macedonia trip talk as well. So always like, just in case I die when I'm away. Good to be remembered for saying something sensible, something important. Live every day as if it's your last. Preach every sermon as if it's your last. Someday it will be. But anyway, that's just a wee thing that I, bit tongue-in-cheek there. But you will forgive me if I don't do a normal preaching this morning, because what I actually wanted to do is, in a way, is reiterate Paul's announcements about the festival week and kind of link it in with some biblical principles that we've been learning as we've been walking through the scriptures and through the book of Acts. Make the connections. Thing is, if you know why you do something, you'll do it with greater understanding, greater motivation. I learned this actually as a teenager when I was following the Lord. One of the first lessons that God brought into my life, and I'm really grateful for my upbringing that really taught me this, and it was this: whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might as unto the Lord, to the glory of God. And it's that wee word, whatever. And there was a lot of things in my life at that time were boring and ordinary. And some things were exciting. And then there was study. And then there was tidying your bedroom. Then there was playing football. And something really gripped me about the importance of doing everything to the glory of God. And suddenly life has got purpose and meaning. And that there's no accidents. God is engineering things and giving us opportunities to serve him. So it makes no difference whether you're raising a dead person or giving someone a glass of water. Everything to the glory of God. Isn't that fantastic? And so that really motivated me in so many areas of my life. And let me give you a few scriptures. Bear with me. They're a bit scattered. I better give one from the book of Acts. Here's one about Paul. It's 20 verse 16. And it says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Pentecost was a festival. Paul wanted to make it. Now, I'm not quite sure why he wanted to go to that particular festival. Maybe he still had a respect for his Jewish background and traditions, and it was a significant feast. I suspect there was a wee bit of the evangelist about him. Pentecost, good time to get a lot of people together. All over the world, people will gather in Jerusalem. What an opportunity for the gospel. And I think Paul was an opportunist. In one of his letters, he says, make the most of every opportunity. And Pentecost was a big, giant national festival. Make the most of every opportunity. And I always say that about, you know, birthdays, wedding anniversaries. We've heard today someone's married for 11 years, Rotson and Andra. Brilliant. Some things are worth celebrating. Christmas, Easter, and it's all over the scripture as well. Philippians 4, verse 4. Here's a command. Brace yourself for a command. Get ready for this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's a command. Isn't that amazing? His commands are not grievous. His commands are life-giving. And there is a time to rejoice. It's actually always. And I think the champions at celebration, the champions at thanksgiving, the champions of rejoicing ought to be kingdom people. Even though we're not denying the tragedy in life and the temptations and the trials and the difficulties, there is something in God where you can be thankful in all circumstances and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Luke 15, famous, the You've heard the parable of the prodigal son. We're going to the end of it. You know, he went out, wasted his life, wasted his money, came home, and the father threw a party for him. And it says like this, "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and dancing." What's this? Music and dancing? Is it a wedding celebration? Is it Pentecost? Is it Passover? It's not Passover. It's not Pentecost. It's not even Tabernacles. And there's a bit of dancing going on here, a bit of celebration. And he called one of the servants. "What does this mean?" And he said, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's got home safely." And the elder brother was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. And he answered his father, "Look, these years I've served you. I've never disobeyed you. You've never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, he's wasted your property with prostitutes. You've killed a fatted calf for him." And he said to him, the father said, "Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he was found." And just a wee thought, let's not be elder brothers. Join in the party. Celebrate the grace of God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 19. I love this scripture, these series of verses, because they're so short and all the commands are so clear. You need a theologian to confuse you here with this passage. Where do you hear this? "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." Where have we heard that before? "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit." So clear, isn't it? Pray always, give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice always, don't quench the Spirit, and give thanks in all circumstances. So why celebrate at any time? It's thoroughly biblical. It's thoroughly appropriate. It's obedience to his commands. And I wrote down a little note to myself here. Ask the people if you can be frank with them. Can I be frank with you? I want to encourage support for this week of celebration and make the most of the opportunity. I'm fully aware there's no obligation. It's voluntary. I'm fully aware there are some people who are away for the week or part of the week for different things. That's okay. But just to be aware of it, to be praying for it, to make the most of the opportunity and support it. We come from a tradition that doesn't overly emphasize special days and special Sundays and special festivals. It's not right. I mean, it's quite interesting when you speak to the Anglicans, every single Sunday has a special name. You know what I mean? Like next Sunday is Pentecost. And, you know, and every day in the lectionary, there's specific readings and specific prayers. And we don't tend to do that. And we sometimes go to the other extreme, where we think there's never any place to remember certain things. There's never any place to set some rhythms into our lives so that we don't neglect certain things. And I personally have benefited from this understanding. If you ask me about personal prayer and you give me a choice, an either or choice, my answer is going to be both. Stephen, would you like a prayer life which you just continually pray as you live your life, praying in the Spirit, praying in the car, praying in the shower, just offering up as you live your life? Or do you want set times of prayer in some special place? I would say, I want the continual prayer. I want something real. I don't want something religious. I want to practice his presence. I want communion with God. But if you ask me, in addition to that, would you like special times of set apart prayer just so you can reflect and focus on God? Yeah. Is there anything wrong with that, Stephen? There's something about the mornings. It's the start of a new day. And what I'm finding is, as I embrace that also, my continual prayer increases. So it's not either or. It's not cheesecake or pavlova. It's both. No, really. And so that's why, you know, we have said there's something significant about God's people gathering in one place at one time to seek his face and to pray. There's something significant when two or three gather in his name that he's in the midst. And it doesn't mean that the whole of life isn't sacred. The whole of life is sacred. It doesn't mean my car isn't a sacred place, or the shower for that matter, but it's all of the above. So let's practice his presence, but don't be afraid of rhythms in life. Which brings me to, I don't want to blind you with science here, but here are some connections in creation and all through the Bible of the importance of healthy rhythms. Did you know that your hormones fluctuate over a 24-hour period? Cortisol levels. Not right, Dr. Alex? If I get something wrong here, you correct me. Even testosterone. If you're going to check your testosterone, guys, better to check it between 7 and 9 in the morning. All right? Because throughout your 24-hour day, even your body has a cycle. Your hormones have a cycle. Anybody experience a monthly hormonal changes? Name. A few hands going up. That's just the man. I'm only joking. You know, what is God up to? You know, I mean, God, you're the great designer, and it seems like there are daily rhythms that are quite important. And every morning the sun comes up, there's light, brightness. That reminds me of resurrection. That reminds me of a new day, new beginning. His mercies are new every morning. The sun goes down at night. That reminds me something's concluded, something's finished. I'm going to bed to sleep in faith that I will wake up, and even if I don't, my heart is set towards the Lord. And so every morning, every evening, every time I eat, every time my cortisol levels fluctuate, there are times of the day I feel extra tired for some reason. That reminds me how much I need the Lord. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. He can quicken my mortal body. So even the rhythms in our bodies and our week are important. And God's designed 7 days, and he suggested one day and seven should be a rest day. Of course, every day is a Sabbath, isn't it? We're resting in Christ. He fulfills the Sabbath, and we don't have to get religious about a special day. But you know what I've actually found really, really helpful? It helps to rest one day and seven. And I didn't get my rest day this week. And I was grumpy. You know, I was blaming the devil. And yes, Liverpool won. And I almost felt, you know, this thing about rest is important. And one day and seven, I don't think it has to be a Sunday. I don't think it has to be a Saturday from sunset to sunset. But there is something significant about taking a day a week just to rest and reflect and to celebrate, actually. And all through the Old Testament, we see God has these feasts, the Feast of the... They're called the Feast of the Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? The Lord was a party giver. Feasts. 3 times a year, the whole nation was together. And although the feasts of the Lord have been fulfilled in Christ, why not have a party every so often? Why not have a celebration every so often? Why not say thank you officially every so often? And I just think, you know, I'm challenged when I read about the prodigal son, and I don't want to be the elder brother who misses out. Mary and Martha, I want to be more like Mary than Martha, who's just so busy, you know, fussing and anxious about so many things. And there's Mary, takes some time to reflect at the Lord's feet. And so I rest my case. There's something significant about being thankful, and there's something significant about celebrating. Let's maximize the opportunity of this week. So I'm going to flash up the announcements again about the week. Do you have that, Joshua? And let me just hook in a couple of thoughts, a couple of connections. And the first one is, what is the purpose of this week? It's to have a time of thanksgiving and really appreciate the Lord, appreciate one another, appreciate the ministries that go on in the church. Thanksgiving is associated with singing and music. It's the festival week, Josh, there it is. Part of what we want to do is just to give thanks to God. You know, the Sunday should be a real celebration. On Thursday night, we have a prayer and worship celebration. And in a way, we just want to thank people for being committed to leading worship in the church, to thank the people who pray in the church, who intercede in the church, just to really say, we really, really appreciate that. We really, really value that. Wouldn't it be good to come together and just acknowledge that? Romans 12, verse 10 says, there's one thing we should be competitive about, and it's showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. And you know, sometimes it is good to honor the Lord and to honor one another, to honor people that have served, that have been faithful, that have prayed, that are reaching out to other people, to honor people overseas that we have a meaningful relationship and connection with, and to honor people here who've been supportive of mission overseas and so on. One time we calculated how many people were actively involved in some kind of service or practicality or rota in this church, and Ken did the maths. I can't quite remember the number, but it was over 80% of people. Now, that's not something we're sort of getting proud about, but there's something about being thankful. There's something about honoring one another. You know, there are some cultures that overdo the honor bit. And, you know, if you don't thank everybody individually, they fall out. And I didn't get thanked for that. And sometimes we overdo honor where we can almost idolize people. No, we don't do that. There's only one person is worthy of worship. But then there are other cultures that go the other extreme. They never really honor one another until they're dead. They never appreciate somebody until they're dead. And I'm sort of learning, you know, we need to appreciate our wives, our husbands, our parents. Honor your parents. Teach our children to honor their parents. It's very, very important. Honor one another. Outdo one another in honoring one another. And personally, I'm so appreciative of so many people in this church. So many people who have prayed for me, who've been faithful, who've given, who serve behind the scenes. I'm really grateful for people who act like a conscience for me. Do you know what I mean? There's some people like they're kind of, what I mean by that is they've got a passion for God that really challenges me. I really appreciate that. Or they've got a level of faith that always stretches me. Or they have a desire for sound doctrine, and that encourages and challenges me, and it's like a conscience to me. Or they have a burden for the lost more than me, and it acts as a conscience for me. And instead of dishonoring those people that stir me up and challenge me, I'm learning to say thank you. I'm learning to honor them, to honor people in the Lord. Is that good? A culture of honor rather than dishonor. A culture of being thankful rather than complaining. You know, if I was the devil, if I appeared and showed myself as I really was, most sound Christians wouldn't give me the time of day. And so the devil's sneaky. He's a dirty fighter. And he loves to get his people dishonoring, loves to get his people complaining, loves to get his people being ungrateful. The first thing we teach our children is say thank you. And there's nothing more concerning to me when I meet a 10-year-old who does not know how to honor people and say thank you. That worries me. That really worries me. I was helping a young man with drug issues. He's now 30 years old, and he says, you know, here's my problem with my parents. I refused to get up out of bed and go to school, and they wouldn't overrule. I wish to God, he would say, that when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, they would not let me. Do you understand? And he was crying out at the age of 30 for discipline now that he had grown up, and he realized he was reaping something in his life through a lack of honor and a lack of discipline. So discipline is not a dirty word. And that's the purpose of this week of celebration and the purpose of all our celebrations, Thanksgiving and a place for honor, an appropriate place. But here's my favorite. Any excuse to reach out to other people. Any excuse to make new friends, that the people we want to see come to Christ, any excuse whatsoever to draw people to the Lord or whatever. And that's one of my passions. Seriously, to be frank, here's something I really believe about the people in this room. I believe the latent genius and impact of people in this room is absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. If we had 80 people with one heart and one mind and one voice whose only ambition was to raise up Christ in the immediate and wider Dunmurry area, nothing would be impossible for us. I believe in the latent potential of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the person on your right, the person on your left, if they've received the Spirit of God, the latent creativity, the latent genius, the latent potential that's within that person is staggering. And let's make a difference. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Make friends. Pray for people. Invite people. Remember, bless. B-L-E-S-S. Bless people. Bless your neighbors. Bless your family. Bless your workmates. Be a blessing and bless. B-L-E-S-S. B is for begin with prayer. L is listen to people. How many ears do you have? It's not a trick question. The answer is two. How many mouths do you have? The answer is one. Listen twice as much as you speak if you want to win souls. What are their passions? What are their desires? What are their interests? What are their hardships? Listen, listening, and you will earn the right to speak. You will earn the right to share something of the Christ with them. E, one of my favorites, eat with them. Drink coffee with them, eat with them. Maybe on the Tuesday night, let's get Joanne to prepare a few scones. Eat. Do I get an amen there? On Saturday night at this, well, you've really built up the Saturday night thing, Paul, you really have. And I know one of the reasons why, because you're helping to coordinate it. But maybe we eat. Oh, you know, even opening our homes, we had a neighbor in for dinner the other night, and as we were eating together, we ended up just talking about spiritual things. It was that easy. Everybody in the world eats. Did you know Buddhists eat? Muslims eat? When was the last time You had a cup of coffee with a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a Muslim. Monday's the answer, Ken says. Absolutely. There's something significant about hospitality and eating together and having a time of fellowship around a table. S is serve people, and S is share your story or share your testimony of what God has done in your life and how real God is. And so the purpose of the week, there's a few events that I think allow us to be outreaching. We have this health evening. You know, everybody is interested in health these days. Isn't it amazing? Everyone's interested in mental health and herbs and everything. It's just gone viral. And on Tuesday night, we, as well as honor what's already happening there and honor Gary and his family and say thank you to them, we appreciate them, and we appreciate the people that have benefited, we want to invite more people, and maybe we'll share something that night about the importance of exercise, the importance of, what was the other thing I had down there? My mind's gone blank. Yes, mental health. Mental health, we'll share 5-10 minutes, the importance of exercise, 5-10 minutes, the importance of mental health, 5-10 minutes on the place of Christian counseling, and 5-10 minutes on our belief and conviction that God still heals the sick today, supernaturally. We can share that with a bunch of people in a place of, an ambience. Saturday afternoon, everybody loves to eat the Asian banquet. I think it's from 4 until 6, yeah? God's love made edible. It's definitely curry.
Oh, yes.
And I'm already thinking of people that I would invite to that who like to eat. And I said, oh my goodness, that's everybody. But I'm thinking of people, I'm thinking of a woman right now who's a very lonely Hindu woman, lives in Newton Abbey. I know she'll come to that. And apparently Pastor Benjamin, there's an anointing on this man, I believe. And I know that if people are there eating together and this man shares the word, this woman will be touched. I know that. What an opportunity. And even if she's not saved that day, I believe that something would be sown and watered. And it's still good just to eat together. And Saturday night is a fun night. You know, sometimes doing something with laughter and fun and music is actually a tremendous testimony to the world. Because sometimes when people come into the church environment, the first thing they expect is we take an offering up. How much does it cost? You know, what do you want from me? And I think it's significant that people see believers enjoying God, enjoying one another. And I think there's a lot of talents that will be on display that night. And Dad's band is playing as well. And then Sunday morning, the Sunday morning service, Robert will be our guest speaker at that. And Sunday afternoon, God willing, we'll have the baptismal services all being well down in Finnegy Baptist. And you know, baptismal services, they're the most celebratory thing imaginable. You know, someone says it's the happiest funeral you'll ever be at. You know, burying the old life, going public for Christ, and inviting friends and families to witness that really, really powerfully impacts people. Wouldn't that be a beautiful way to finish the day and to finish the week? And if you need to be baptized, you know, speak to me as soon as possible. And that's it. And so, anyway, here's my last thought. Here's a question. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I ask myself this question. Being a people helper, whether that's in the medical field, whether that's in the pastoral field, whether that's as a human being, whether that's whatever you do overseas, being a people helper, am I being insensitive to encourage people to turn upward and outward? Is that not insensitive? Some people are so burdened, so lonely, so distressed. To encourage them to turn upward to God and seek Him with your whole heart, to pray, to seek first the kingdom of God, is that sensitive? And to encourage people to turn outward, to think of others rather than themselves, is that insensitive? Actually, it's negligent not to tell people. The key is to turn upward and turn outward. It really is. And I'm sort of hesitant to share this this semi-quotation from a guy called Ben Shapira, who's a bit of a radical thinker, a Jewish guy. But I'm going to quote him. I'm not saying I agree with this completely, but as a people helper, it struck a chord with me. And he said this: when a society has all its basic needs met, you've enough to eat, enough to drink, more than enough entertainment, but you still want to pursue your self-life, you've got to find something to complain about. I can't complain I don't have enough to eat. I can't complain I don't have enough entertainment. I can't complain that I don't have warmth. Like many people in the third world, I've got to find something to frustrate me. And very often it's feelings and rights. I'm not saying I agree with how he said it in detail, but there is some truth in that. We are created to know God and to give our lives to serving God's purposes. And that's the key to everything else. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added onto you. The safest place to be is at the center of God's will and purpose. Turning outward is seeking God. Turning outward is spending our lives reaching out to other people. And I can relate to that, because one of the most self-centered people in the world is me. I love my own company. I really do. I love making myself feel good and comfortable, and I love my wee routines, you know. A day getting the house to myself, I love it. But listen, after about a day or 8 hours of that, I am bored out of my skull. Because I'm designed and created for God's purposes, which goes beyond me and my being comfortable. And as we give ourselves to God's purposes, I guarantee all your needs will be abundantly met, or you get your money back. Amen. So hope that wasn't too hard or too all over the place today. But I'd appreciate your prayers for Jason and I. I appreciate your prayers for the week. Appreciate your support, and really appreciate your engagement and making the most of the opportunity.